Good morning. This is Broski and Mousson on KMJ. I'm John Broski.
And I'm Christina Mousson.
Got a lot on our plate today, Christina, but we just got some news about a death on the Fresno Unified School Board.
Yes.
You know, we've been hearing about some bad health there for a long time.
Yeah. Right? Carol Mills passed away, from what we understand, this morning sometime. Longtime member of the Fresno Unified School Board since 2004. And from what we understand, she was battling some kind of terminal illness of some kind and lost that battle this morning.
Yeah, so we're supposed to hear something from Fresno Unified sometime this morning.
Sometime this morning. And then we're told that like in the next 24 hours, we'll get some details on a special election that will need to be held to fill her seat.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's an effort underway right now when it comes to the Fresno Unified School Board. You know, Terry Sladek filled in for you one day when you were gone, John, and he announced on that day that they were submitting signatures to start the recall process on Claudia Cazares, another trustee. And so there's an effort underway to change the Fresno Unified School Board, and I'm sure this special election will be closely watched.
Yeah, we're going to have to kind of dig in and find out what the timeline is now. You know, we've got this recall election. We also have November. There's generally some elections, even an off year like this in November. So some kind of timeline has probably already been triggered. And so this will be another one, maybe. We might have three elections coming up here. Unless they can tie this in with November, I'm not sure. We'll find out to see what the Fresno Unified School District has to say about that.
But again, to recap, Carol Mills, Fresno Unified trustee, has passed away. We're getting that on good authority from Trustee Sladek. And, you know, our condolences go out to her family.
Yeah. Yeah, that school board, it's been a lot of news.
Yes.
You know, especially with the pandemic and school closures and masks and all that. So schools remain a battle zone. Speaking of a battle zone.
Yeah.
Fauci and Paul. Fauci versus Paul. Rand Paul, Anthony Fauci.
You mean the very boring exchange they had yesterday? Is that what you're talking about, John? The incredibly lackluster exchange?
We're going to get into that in case anybody missed this. We'll play it for you. But, you know, Anthony Fauci pretty much gets a pass, you know, about all this stuff. If you go back to the beginning of when this broke out and we learned about this lab, almost from the very beginning, there was an effort to squelch any talk that this could have come out of the lab. And it was just, it was weird because
it was an animal. It came from the wet market.
Yeah, the wet market.
It came from the wet market. Yeah. I mean, it's happened before there, right? It came from the wet market. And why question the lab, right?
But, you know, somewhere deep inside all of us, this lingered. You know, this lab thing, why is the lab right there in Wuhan, right where all this broke out? Why could it not come from the lab? But there was this real effort to just squelch on, you know, Donald Trump right away said it came from that lab. So you wonder, was it just because Donald Trump said it that it can't be true?
Maybe.
You know? And
maybe
I think
it's as simple as that.
And I think there was also, it didn't play into the media leftist handbook of trying to portray Donald Trump as a racist. You know, so calling it the, you know, all of this Asian hate crime stuff is because of Donald Trump. Because he said the Wuhan flu, the China flu, whatever, that's what all that's about. And so it can't have come from the lab because that might actually make it the China flu if it was man-made. And Fauci kind of played into this too by saying, you know, the DNA strains don't really match natural versus human-made DNA. And so, you know, it finally took Jon Stewart to break through to the population with his humor and just, you know, put the ridiculous line that it couldn't have been the lab to rest. And now it's kind of, I think, accepted by most people it was the lab, although we may never know.
Well, remember, Facebook and Twitter wouldn't allow you to post anything on social media that alluded to or said that it could have come from any other place but the wet market, right? If there was any kind of story posted online about the lab and COVID-19, it was immediately flagged and taken down, Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so the media wasn't talking about it. Anytime somebody mentioned it, it was a conspiracy theory. It was fake news. It was tinfoil hat. In the meantime, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, wait, there was an outbreak in this city where this lab is, and they do this kind of testing there. Why am I the crazy one for thinking, could it be? I'm not saying it's absolute. I'm not putting on a tinfoil hat and saying it's some conspiracy theory to get America or whatever. I'm just sitting here thinking, well, there's some dots that are really close together. Could I connect those dots? Would that be a connection that could be made? And yet, they tried to shut you up, which makes you think that when they try to shut you up, John, that maybe you're onto something.
I know. It's kind of like vaccine hesitancy. You know, the more right? they put the full court press on, though, I think the more people dig in their heels. And the same thing here. They were so emphatic that it could not have come out of this lab, as natural as it seems to think that you're suspicious.
Right.
But it took John Stewart to kind of
make you laugh. And while you're laughing and your mouth is open, shove some truth down your throat. And that's kind of what I think happened with the media, with Facebook and Twitter and the president. Harold Klerman, one of my favorite quotes ever, is make them laugh and while their mouth is open, shove the truth down their throat. And I feel like that's a bit of what Jon Stewart did on that day. And we'll play that audio coming up. But yesterday, Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci had this exchange. It's 3 minutes, but bear with us because it's a good 3 minutes.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
Well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2. That's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well, wait a minute. It did come from the lab, but all
the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
Those
viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
You can't
get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth.
Senator,
you are the one.
Time is expired, but I will allow the witness to
finish. Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists, those viruses are molecularly impossible
no one's
to
saying
result
they are. No
in
one's
SARS-CoV-2.
Saying those viruses caused the pandemic.
Paul,
we're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal
not.
Viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying...
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent
that.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
There you go. That was the very lackluster and courteous exchange between Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Rand Paul.
Yeah, and there was substance there. You know, that's the thing. You
There's a lot of substance there.
And, you know, this might get in the weeds a little bit, but I think, you know, the first question I ask myself when I heard this is, does this matter? Does it matter where it came from? Because it wouldn't change anything. We did what happened, happened. And we had to do what we had to do to get through this. But it's kind of like this Creek Fire investigation for the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back undetermined. It just seems unfulfilling somehow, right? Not to know. And I think it does matter. And I think Anthony Fauci has been pretty much given a pass by Democrats and the media because they work hand in hand. Like I say, it didn't fit in with the narrative they wanted. They wanted it to be natural. They wanted Donald Trump to be wrong about the lab. They wanted to call Donald Trump a racist. And they could do that if he was accusing the Chinese government of creating this in their lab. But, you know, this exchange, Rand Paul is the only one that asked Anthony Fauci tough questions. Even after this yesterday, who's getting beat up? Rand Paul by
yes.
the media.
Right.
Right.
I mean, if you look at the headlines, right, CNBC, if anybody is lying here, Senator, it's you. Fauci tells Senator Paul in a heated exchange at Senate hearing. CNN, you don't know what you're talking about, right? Fox even said Fauci blows up after being pressed by Senator Paul. That's, I mean, the only kind of fair headline there. This is what actually got my attention yesterday. It was a tweet by a Washington Post journalist, columnist, Josh Rogan, who tweeted, "Hey guys, at Rand Paul is right and Fauci is wrong. The NIH was funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan, but NIH pretended it didn't meet their gain-of-function definition to avoid their own oversight mechanism." And that's exactly the truth. Anthony Fauci is going off of semantics here. That it is gain of function.
And
whether or
not,
but he says it's not technically,
yeah.
But it was. And whether you gave that money to a lab that then passed on and granted the Wuhan lab $600,000 of that grant that you gave EcoHealth, and they were doing gain of function research with that money in Wuhan, you did then give money to Wuhan. It went there indirectly, but you gave it to them. So that's what he's talking about here. And then you've got the emails. Let's not forget the Fauci emails that got released not very long ago, right? In early June, they showed Anthony Fauci was warned several times in January, February, and April of 2020 by different experts that COVID-19 was likely the result of testing at what? The Wuhan lab in China. In the emails. And he's sitting there and he's saying, "I never lied. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to backtrack. It's not gain of function." But yet in January, February, and April of 2020, he got emails saying it's the result of Wuhan lab testing. But yet we're not supposed to believe that it's gain of function because in the technicality of things, it doesn't meet the NIH definition.
Yeah, well, you know.
But it is.
Well, Rand Paul read the definition that he got for gain of function, and he read it right there in that soundbite we just played. And Anthony Fauci says, no, that's not the definition.
Right.
Okay. But again, it's like, it kind of reminds me of Bill Clinton. Depends on what the meaning of is, right? Same kind of thing, semantic argument.
At the end of the day, you were doing shady stuff in the Oval Office, right? And Anthony Fauci, at the end of the day, you know that this is connected somehow. And granted, whether it came from the wet market because an animal got released into the wet market and somebody bought it and cooked that animal and ate it or whatever, and they contracted COVID, there is a connection somehow between this lab and the testing that was going on and COVID-19.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not going to be made crazy to connect those dots there.
Kind of reminds me, like, not to associate Fauci with any kind of criminal activity here, but when you have a criminal trial, do you ask the person on trial if they're innocent or guilty? Yeah.
Right.
And they always say innocent, right?
Always.
But you don't rely on that for the final results of your trial.
Correct.
You get other witnesses. So if you want to know what happened here, Anthony Fauci may not be the best person to ask because he's in the middle of it and he's not likely to say, yeah, I screwed up. I mean, he's so entrenched. And I don't know if he did or not. But I think that, you know, the media should be tougher on him than they are. They've already given him a pass for yesterday and piled on Rand Paul.
Right now, we are talking about the exchange between Dr. Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday on Capitol Hill. It is a very heated exchange. We played the 3 minutes of that audio for you. It is great audio. But, you know, it was Jon Stewart that kind of made us all laugh. And while we were laughing and our mouths were open, shoved some truth down our throats, or at least down the Democrats' throats, that made Facebook and Twitter say, maybe we won't ban this content if Jon Stewart is saying it. And so Jon Stewart on, you know, with, Colbert, and do you pod me down there? I've got to play a commercial and re-cue this. This is very annoying. I'm sorry.
That's all right. But getting back to...
Yeah.
We all kind of thought to ourselves when we heard about this lab, that seems odd, right? That there's a lab right there
odd.
Where this started.
And yes.
But immediately there was this suppression of any thought that it could have come from the lab. And we're like, why is that such an oddball thing to think? But like Fauci said, you know, if you look at the molecular structure, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
But
it's not impossible. And Jon Stewart laid it out pretty nicely, I would say.
I honestly mean this. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has, in many ways, helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science. So, and that's kind of...
Hold on one second.
No. Listen.
I wouldn't do that to you.
What do you mean
by that? Do you mean like there's a chance that this was created in a lab? There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's
a
novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. And you're like, no. If you look at the name... Look at the name. Let me see your business card. Show me your business card. Oh, I work at the coronavirus lab in Wuhan. Oh, because there's a coronavirus loose in Wuhan. How did that happen? Maybe a bat flew into the cloaca of a turkey and then it sneezed into my chili. And now we all have coronavirus. Like, come on.
Wait a second.
Listen to this.
Wait a second.
All right.
John.
Oh, my God. There's been an outbreak of chocolatey goodness near Hershey, Pennsylvania. What do you think happened? Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe a steam shovel mated with a cocoa bean. Or it's the chocolate factory. Maybe that's it.
That could be.
I mean, it's so true and so simply put, the name of the virus is the name of the lab, right? I love the Hershey chocolate comparison, by the way. Yeah. It's just on point.
Yeah. In the beginning, when he says this, you know, that science created this, and you can't see Colbert on our audio here, but if you're watching the video,
yeah.
Colbert is like, you know, he's stunned that anybody would have the audacity to say this.
Well,
right?
it's great, you know, because in acting they tell you sometimes you don't need to say anything. It's the body language that says it all. And Colbert's body language, he sits back in his chair and puts his finger over his lips, kind of like a, huh?
What?
You know, what?
Did you just say that?
Did you just say this tinfoil hat conspiracy theory?
Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Which was most of the headlines yesterday.
You don't know what you're talking about. Stop spreading lies.
And, you know, I don't know. Rand Paul is a doctor. You know, this is not his field of expertise, but he's probably the closest thing we have to a scientist in the Senate.
You know, one of the things I put in my notes this morning was about Rand Paul and COVID, right? Because Rand Paul was one of the first members of Congress to be diagnosed with COVID-19 in March of 2020, right? The same month the nation went into lockdown because of COVID. And then, you know, when he came back to work, he said, I don't need to wear a mask. Because I'm now, you know, I carry the antibodies. And people thought he was nuts and crazy. And, you know, I hate to say this because I'm not necessarily a Rand Paul fan. I kind of feel like sometimes he stirs the pot about things. But he's kind of been right about a lot of this along the way. And I got to say, when he speaks up on COVID, I should listen. He is a doctor and I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor. He's been right about this stuff.
490-5858. Kenny, you're on KMJ.
Hey, John. Hey, Christina.
Yeah.
I agree when you say that we'll never find out anything from the Wuhan lab because, yeah, they've scrubbed everything. And who knew Fauci's name before this coronavirus hit? Nobody. This guy has gotten so much press, so much TV time, so much notoriety for being on the COVID task force. I believe he's gotten into a situation of godlike syndrome, and he's beyond reproach. You had a really good analogy when you said a few good men. And yeah, he's playing the Jack Nicholson. I always get the golfer and actor mixed up. He's playing that role because he doesn't think he's touchable. He's beyond reproach. Anything he says is golden, and we have to go by that. And Rand Paul, I believe, he's hit the nail on the head. He gave the definition for gain of function, and that is what they've been playing with, according to all the emails that have surfaced with Fauci, and I can't remember the other doctor's names. Yeah. But,
hey, Kenny, I've got some noise on your line there, so...
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the bad thing about this exchange. They didn't get more into, okay, Dr. Fauci, what is your definition then? Okay, because this
right.
is the definition
that
we've been using.
That would have been a very good question to follow up with. Then what's your definition?
But Kenny, you know, you're right. I mean, Dr. Fauci thinks he is...
untouchable.
Yeah, and why wouldn't he? You know, even after yesterday, nobody is blaming him. The media is on his side for whatever reason. So why wouldn't he think he's untouchable? They are going to still defend him. And by they, I mean the media and the Democrats. Rand Paul is the only one that ever asked many tough questions.
Well, you know, I kind of thought that when we talked about the Jon Stewart audio, you know, a couple weeks back, we discussed about how, you know, Anthony Fauci had made the statement about gain of function and not being connected. And then, lo and behold, come to find out that, yes, it does look like it was man-made. Maybe we need to look into that it came from this lab. And you kind of saw Dr. Fauci walking some things back. You saw Joe Biden walking things back. You saw Facebook and Twitter walking things back, right? You had the great Jon Stewart audio. And I thought at the time, and I think I even said on the air, they are getting ready to throw Dr. Anthony Fauci under the bus. They're getting ready to do this. He is going to become the sacrificial lamb to save their butts because he is expendable. I don't know that he realizes that, but he is expendable. There is somebody else at the National Institute of Health that can take his place. And if Joe Biden is looking for somebody to save his butt and he can't blame Donald Trump for it, Dr. Anthony Fauci will be the next person. But that didn't end up happening for some reason, and I don't know why. And now Rand Paul's pushing ahead with this. I don't know whether or not he is going to be thrown to the wolves or not down the road, but he does think he's untouchable. I think that's very dangerous because he is the only expendable person in this.
Yeah, easily,
and he needs to realize that.
Yeah, but I mean, why would he? Because
everybody's arrogant.
Everybody's kind of in the foxhole with him. So he's defending himself, assuming everybody else is going to defend him. And if his only enemy is Rand Paul, he's got no problems, right? And after yesterday's exchange, the media got in the foxhole with Fauci and said, you're right, he's an idiot. Because he made that comment, you don't know what you're talking about. That was the headline.
Right. You know? You're absolutely right. Yeah. But if this continues, I don't know where this is going to go in the coming days. But if this story develops in some kind of direction, all I'm saying is Dr. Anthony Fauci does think he's untouchable. However, if they get into a pinch, and I mean Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, if they get into a pinch and they need to sacrifice somebody, they are going to sacrifice him.
Yeah. Well,
he needs to be careful.
Well, the thing to me is, like I said, I don't know that we can ever get to the bottom of this, so I don't know if he'll ever get in a position where they can prove anything against him, right? And so I think his point is, see, I don't want to call him a liar. I don't know anything about science. I don't, you know, this is not really my field. I think Rand Paul probably knows a lot more about this than I do. He's a doctor. He can, he probably has some knowledge of this field, but it's not his field of expertise. It is Anthony Fauci's, but is Anthony Fauci the one to ask when it's kind of like conflict of interest stuff. He's got a conflict of interest, which is himself. You know, he wants to protect himself, his own reputation, but he's in the middle of this. So if you want to investigate, you got to talk to somebody else, not him. Now, they had him in front of this committee, and I think, you know, Rand Paul.
To get him on the record.
Yeah, and I think Rand Paul, I think there's some dislike here between these people.
What? You don't think they're besties?
I don't think so, no. But I saw some comments yesterday about people were saying you should keep politics out of this. You really can't.
No.
You know, because the science dictates the policy. So, you know, it was like we talked about this all the time, you know, this cost-benefit analysis that we were not doing through all of this. We were listening to Anthony Fauci, and he was stating his case. But we didn't have people up there stating the economic case, the education case, the suicide case, the mental illness case, you know, all the side effects of this shutdown. Fauci was leading the charge here. And we weren't hearing, well, what's going to happen if we do all this stuff? And we still haven't reconciled the cost-benefit analysis of all this. It's kind of trickling in. But what was the damage to all of our school children? What was the mental health? What was the suicide? You know, we know the economic damage. You know, that's bad enough. So, I don't know. It's just Fauci was kind of Donald Trump had a lot to do with Fauci.
Yes.
You know, he elevated him to this position of he's our man. But he should have had an economic man up there. He should have had an education man up there.
Yeah, woman. If I could sit down with President Trump for 5 minutes and ask him some questions, I would ask him. In hindsight, looking back on the beginning of this pandemic, those press conferences that were held, giving that broad sweep of decision making, what appeared to be, or allowing Anthony Fauci to be at the forefront of those press conferences, even Dr. Birx for some extent. Allowing them to be forefront and center, making these decisions that you made of shutting things down based solely upon their suggestions and not having, you know, the economic and educational aspects up there. Do you regret that?
Yeah.
Do you regret also being at every single one of those press conferences and associating yourself, making a direct tie between yourself and Dr. Anthony Fauci too? Do you regret that? I think I would love to know his hindsight, being now 2020, looking back, if he would do anything differently.
Yeah, well, to me, it reminds me of kind of a department head meeting. You have a general manager, you have department heads. These are the meetings I'm used to, right? So you go to a department head meeting. Every department head has their opinion about whatever. Well, you know, they're going to disagree. And the general manager makes a decision. That's what this is supposed to be. Anthony Fauci was supposed to be the pandemic department head. But we needed an economic department head. We needed an education department head. We needed all these other things that were impacted by the science decisions so that the general manager could say, Anthony, I like what you say, but the consequences of shutting the schools down are too great. We can't do that. So I appreciate your opinion. That's what you're here for. I want your strong opinion. But you don't. That doesn't mean you get your way. Hello, Tim. You're on KMJ.
Good morning. Yeah, I think, well, there's a couple things. I think Fauci's been around so long that everybody just kind of takes everything he says as gospel, and that's just ridiculous. I'm sorry, because, you know, the guy's not, he's not infallible, and we've found that out with a lot of decisions he's made that he's gone back on. But I think it even is a little more nefarious than that. I think there's a lot of financial gains to be made, and I think guys have financial ties that are making decisions that are making a lot of money to make sure that this thing keeps its head going. And pharmaceutical companies, people who have invested in that, the masks, the this, the that. I mean, there's money to be made in this thing. Guys have got a lot of invested interest in it, and I think they're making a lot of decisions based on financial gain. And I hate to say that, but I mean, that's the way of the world, and I think Fauci could be one of them.
Yeah, I don't know what good it does us to guess on something like that. You know, I think, you know, Fauci is a health guy, right?
Yes.
So his focus is, how do I minimize the damage of this pandemic?
Stopping the spread.
Yeah.
How do I stop the spread?
Yeah.
Well, you stop the spread by making everybody stay home and not go anywhere.
That's certainly one way to do it, right? But that's why I'm saying you need somebody else to come in. But, Mr. President, if you do what he says, you're going to shut down every business in this country except the big box stores, because we're going to have essential and non-essential businesses. Do we really want to go down that road? You need the balanced department head over here saying, wait, there's some downside to that. We need the education person. You're not going to let kids go to school? We're going to try to do this on Zoom? That's going to be catastrophic for children. You know, we needed those opinions in there. And all we had was the news conference every day with Birx and Fauci.